News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, by the way, I'm not sure if you caught it, but we have a new team member that I'm proud to announce has joined the Right Side team, National Christian Foundation. National Christian Foundation, if you're not familiar, is an incredible organization that helps you to streamline your charitable giving. I mean, we all, you know, have those things we give to, whether it be our church or to another 501c3 charity like, you know, who knows, United Way or Salvation Army or any number of great causes. Well, National Christian Foundation helps you to streamline. They help you to manage your money. And Charlene and I have begun doing this. So literally, we take our tithe and the other charities that we already contribute to. We send that money straight to NCF each month. And then we turn around and they manage it for us. They grow it with interest. They invest it as needed in a portfolio. And then when we're ready, we just literally say, give to my church, give to this, give to that. And those things go straight out from NCF, National Christian Foundation, to those particular charities. What it does, though, is it also gives you the ability to shelter funds immediately. Let's say you make a lot of money on the sale of your business or something like that. Well, you need to have that tax write-off right away, but you don't know where you want to give that charitable giving yet. So you plop it down at NCF. You immediately get the tax write-off because they are a 501c3. Very cool concept. We love it. We're already using it in National Christian Foundation, now a member of the team. Check them out at ncfalabama.com. Just go check them out. I really think you're going to like it. So listen, Copper, got to ask you a question.
Yes.
Did you spend your evening last night watching CNN's town hall for President Biden? Did you see it?
I have to say that was not at the top of my priority list last night.
Well, I have to say it wasn't mine either. In fact, I have to go in to say I didn't even know they were having one, just to let you know.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to think I'm somewhat well-read and occasionally versed in the fact that there are political things happening, and I had no clue that was even going on. In fact, I remember thinking recently, is he going to do another one? Will they dare let him have a moment where he could be potentially unscripted? But then again, all he did was go back to CNN. I mean, that's where he did the Don Lemon town hall a few weeks back. And basically, Don Lemon just spoon-fed him some stuff and did not question a single one of his stammers. Not a single one. Well, last night, they did another town hall. And I'm going to cover down on some of this because there was one quote in particular. And we'll get to it right after the next break. But, Copper, you can go ahead and get clip two ready because it's going to be the first one out the gate. But he had any number of gaffes. In fact, the White House press room is already trying to walk back some of the things that he said. And one of the things that's really shocking, so Anderson Cooper is the one who did this last night, right? So Anderson Cooper, who has actually reported from the battlefields in Afghanistan, I mean, for all his warts and blemishes, he has gone some places. And Anderson Cooper actually has been to Afghanistan, did not ask a single question about Afghanistan at all. Yeah, clip two, Copper. That's the one we're going to use first. But it's amazing. So I would dare say, knowing the CNN relationship with you know, liberal White House, just like they did during the Obama years, if you remember back during the debates, CNN was making sure that Hillary Clinton had advanced copies of some of the questions during the debates when she was running for president. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's CNN. Well, this same CNN with Anderson Cooper, I'm just going to guess, but I'm going to guess they probably made sure that President Biden knew what questions were coming. Not only that, I wouldn't be surprised if the White House helped write them out. But nonetheless, it's amazing the things they didn't ask him. Now, they also opened the floor, and they allowed some questions to come from the floor. And that's where it got really interesting. Yeah, like I'll tell you in a minute. In fact, in a minute, I'll play you the clip of what he said, President Biden himself, when he was asked about rising gas prices. Oh, yeah. You're going to love this one. Let's just go ahead and use the word clueless right up front, and I'll play you the clip when we get back from the break. I'm also going to cover down on some stuff related to your supply chain, inflation around the nation. Looking at a story right now on our new 1819 News website. Story right up front there, surveying the supply chain in Alabama. And the fact that prices are up, shelves are empty in some places. It's getting kind of interesting out there. Bidenomics, that's what we're covering down on. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, back, by the way, we're going to have some good times today, all right? I'm going to talk about some serious topics, but I got to tell you, we're going to have a whole section called Did They Really Say That? Here's a classic example. I am looking right now on Twitter, and this was not even in my show prep. It's just too good not to tell. I can't even wait. I got to tell you this one now. All right. So, Copper, have you seen like Peter Ducey, the reporter from Fox, how he's the one who consistently is asking the hard questions in the press room? Have you seen that?
No. I mean, and they all seem to ask harder questions.
I don't know what press conference you're watching because most of them seem to ask the easy questions.
Oh, at the press conference.
But no. Ducey is the one who is sitting there in front of Jen Psaki, and he'll just literally say, how come you're allowing, you know, them across the border? How come no one's being told what's happening down in southern? It's asking the questions all the time. Ducey asks. So here's an example of the kind of thing we're going to talk about in my section of the Triple Dipper called Did They Really Say That? Question from Ducey last night to Psaki, or maybe it was today. Why did the President Biden say last night that he has been to the border? Her response, well, he did drive through the border when he was on the campaign trail back in 2008. 2008 on the campaign trail. And that's his version of, I've been to the border. Sir, you're the president now. It's a new day. And that was roughly, I don't know, 13 years ago. That doesn't count. It's a whole new day. That's the kind of thing you got to look at and go, did he really just say that? Yeah. Yeah, he really did. All right. So listen, let's do this, though. I'm going to get back to my triple dipper and do it in order. So the Bidenomics issue is what we're going to talk about today. I think you need to see kind of the big picture about how different things, you know, we did this the other day to a degree. We talked about supply chain by itself, and I spent a lot of time talking about how different you know, policies and things are swirling together to create the perfect storm that is really driving our economy. Well, it's exacerbating things right now. I mean, it's really ramping up. And it's amazing to me to look at how the average Joe and Jane on the street can just see the impact. I mean, we know, right? We know. It's not hard to see. I mean, I question this. First of all, have you seen the stickers that are starting to show up on gas pumps? I'm curious if you have. All right, so one of the folks right here at my office at the studio sent me a picture, and there it was. It's a little bitty sticker about the size of your hand, maybe a little smaller, and it's a picture of Joe Biden with both hands kind of pointing, and he says, "I did that." And people are putting them on gas pumps, pointing at the prices. I did that. It's hilarious. I mean, it's right up there with the, you know, Let's Go Brandon. It's becoming like a viral thing. These stickers, you can order them from, I don't know, somebody on Amazon or something, and people are putting them on gas pumps all over the place. Well, no wonder. Look at what's happening. Story that I'm looking at right now. Pulled this one off Fox Business. Gas prices. Regular unleaded hits $7.59 in one California town. What? All right, so right now we are well over $3 a gallon in Alabama. Thank you in part to the fact that our state legislature saw fit to raise the gas tax and allow it to be raised again just about 3 weeks ago. But nonetheless, we're not there. and most people in the world, by the way, are not there. But this one town, Gorda, California, the price of regular unleaded gas at a station in Gorda, California hit $7.59 a gallon on Thursday. That's for regular. On Thursday, as gas prices jumped across the country to a new 7-year high. That's a 7-year high, by the way. That's huge. I mean, not just Gorda, California. Everywhere, we're at 7-year highs in gas pricing. The Gorda station is known to have some of the highest prices in the country because the next nearest station is 12 miles away. The price of premium there hit $8.50 a gallon. A gallon. Now, first of all, there's this thing called price gouging, so I'm not sure what the rules are or the laws in California, but I don't care if you're 12 miles away. I mean, 12 miles for almost every vehicle is less than a gallon of gas. I'd be driving to the next nearest station if I were them. But nonetheless, $7.59 a gallon. So President Biden did his town hall last night. I was talking to Copper about that right before the last break. And he had quite a few comments and things that also weren't asked, which is interesting. But one of the things that came up was he was directly asked by a member of the audience how he was going to handle rising gas prices. Copper, you got clip two? That's that one that I pulled in off of Twitter. Yep. All right. So here is the President of the United States dealing with the question of what's going to happen with rising gas prices. Hit it, Copper.
Anyway, so I must tell you, I don't have a near-term answer. There's two things I could do. I could go in the petroleum reserve and take out and probably reduce the price of gas maybe 18 cents or so a gallon. It's still going to be above $3. And one of the things that I refused to have happen because I didn't want anybody, I made a commitment, if you pass the stuff I'm talking about, not one single penny in tax would go against anybody making less than 400 grand. And so if you notice, these highway bills are not paid for by gas tax. They're paid for by direct expenditures in other areas. Mm-hmm. So the average person doesn't have to pay more. But it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. There's a possibility to be able to bring it down. Depends on a little bit on Saudi Arabia and a few other things that are in the offing. Anyway, so I don't have a near-term answer. There's two things I could do. I could go in the petroleum reserve.
Okay, it's playing over again. Go ahead and stop it there. So let me translate that for you. It was humana, 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 humana. I don't have a plan. Humana, 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 humana. I'm trying not to raise taxes. Humana, 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 humana. I could talk to Saudi Arabia. That's his plan. That's his response. Meanwhile, you've got places like Gorda, California at $7.59 a gallon. The rest of the nation is well in excess of $3 a gallon. Only two states right now in the nation, Texas and one other, I forgot which other, maybe Texas and Alaska. Only two states in the nation right now have gas below $3 a gallon, and that's just barely below $3 a gallon. Barely. That's significant, y'all, because the article I just showed you a moment ago, or I just read from Fox Business, says we're at a seven-year high. Who was in office 7 years ago? Oh, that would be Joe Biden and his then-boss, President Obama. So the seven-year high previously was under the Biden term. And now we're back, and we're under a Biden term, and prices are up. Perhaps, sir, the central figure in our gas pricing appears to be you. I would dare say. Well, when you stop and consider the fact that here's the overall picture, when you stop and consider the fact that pricing is up on gas because we don't have policies in place that assist us with this, because you have chosen to make us non-energy efficient. Non-energy efficient. I mean, we are not interdependent in any stretch by now. Now, he says in that, if you heard it, talking to Anderson Cooper, I mean, he says, at one point, not in that particular clip, he says, my guess is you'll start to see gas prices come down as we get going into the winter. And he said, I mean, excuse me, into 2022. Okay. So he's next year before gas prices even begin to come down. In his mind, which I'm not sure whether his mind is connecting all the time. But then he says, it'll also happen, it depends on Saudi Arabia. Why are we depending on Saudi Arabia? Didn't we move past that? Oh, that's right. Elections have consequences, and the man who ran his election from the basement came out of the basement and immediately began canceling fossil fuel opportunities for us to be energy independent. He did. Don't tell me he didn't. Keystone Pipeline, shut down. Putting a moratorium on offshore drilling, shut down. Putting a moratorium on exploration in federal lands, shut down. And when you've got an industry that's being told that it's under attack, why would they build new wells? Why would they increase demand? Because they know that they're under attack. I mean, here's a quote right now from this article I'm looking at. Again, Fox Business on this one. Mark Thiessen, who was on Faulkner Faulkner, said, quote, when you tell a business you're going to put them out of business, they're not going to drill new wells. And Wall Street's not going to invest in fossil fuels. So this is driving up the problem. And Biden says he does not have a near-term answer. Well, he's the President of the United States. That luxury no longer is allowed to him. He's got to do better than that. So then you start to begin to look at other things. When gas is hitting hard like that, What does it do to other places in the economy? Keep in mind, the vast majority of what we do requires some form of fossil fuel right now. Goods being shipped to stores, farmers running their machinery, farm-to-market produce getting there in time so it doesn't spoil. I mean, you've got everything replying, air freight, whatever. And then, of course, there's the whole, oh, now we're relying on Saudi Arabia. So when we go back to being an import country and we're reliant upon external sources, where are the imports come through? Oh, that's right, the ports, like in California, that are jammed up. Boy, I got some stuff on that for you in just a minute. But here's a story within our state right now. So one of our own state senators here in Alabama, State Senator David Sessions, he was on my buddy Jeff Poor's show down in Mobile on FM Talk 106.5 and the Jeff Poor show. And he was talking about the fact Senator Sessions himself is actually a farmer. And he said that they literally looked at their farm operations and said they're having to change their entire layout for the year from what they normally would do. He says that they normally would sit down and order all their seed for the following spring. You know, at some point they decided they had to do it 4 or 5 months ahead of their normal time frame because they can't be sure what they're going to get or when they'll get it. And he says, in his words, Senator Sessions, he says, it's getting a little dicey around here. Unfortunately, he says, our federal administration, the Biden administration, they have made mistakes at every turn, and we've paid too many people too much money not to work, and you see it in every industry, every facet, and everybody in the world looking for help, and you compound that with all the regulations he's put on trucking companies. I'll tell you about that in a minute. And it's hard to get stuff moved. So he goes on to say, and he's not wrong, State Senator David Sessions, he says that literally, if the president wanted to, he could have certain regulations that are restricting our supply chain and slowing things down, he could have them waived under emergency declarations if he wanted to. If he wanted to. And that's where we are right now. It keeps coming back to a man who just told us in his town hall last night he has no near-term solution. No, you have plenty of near-term opportunities. You choose not to use them, Mr. President. And that's a problem. And it's driving, these Bidenomics are driving our economy into a place that we have not been in, I can't tell you how long. Story just came across Fox, by the way, literally while I was sitting here, I saw it go across the screen, that Biden's polling numbers right now are the lowest and it has dropped quicker than any president since World War II. That's significant. All right, we're going to take a short break right now. When we get back, I got some more stuff on this. We're in Bidenomics right now. We're still on number one on the triple dipper, Bidenomics. I'm going to tell you some more. You'll be amazed to hear how liberal California is combining with Bidenomics to make it even worse. I'll tell you about that in just a minute. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. So listen, we are back. We are going to be continuing to talk about Bidenomics. But before I do that, let me tell you about my friends over at Otter Creek Farm. So Otter Creek Farm is a way cool place right here in North Alabama, but it is known across the entire Southeast region. Really, people come from all over the nation because it's a wing shooting destination like bar none. Hundreds of manicured acres. They got the guides, the guns, the dogs. You can hunt pheasant and quail. It's pretty spectacular out there, but the facilities themselves are also amazing. And if you just want to go out there and have a corporate retreat, or you want to have a wedding out there, because boy, it's a beautiful wedding venue, or if you wanted to spend a day, you know, sitting by the infinity pool, having a glass of wine, watching the sun go down over the fields, then you know what? That's the place. Go look at it. OtterCreekFarmstead.com is the website. And when you do, you'll quickly realize why they were featured in Garden and Gun magazine nationally. And oh, by the way, why Donald Trump Jr. came and stayed there not long ago to do a hunt. Yep, it's that good. Otter Creek Farm. Their website is OtterCreekFarmstead.com. All right, so listen, we are back. I'm going to continue on this Bidenomics thing. So right now I'm looking at an article on 1819news.com, and it's talking about the fact that, you know, here we are looking at inflation and what's happening around the nation and the Bidenomics that have just been impacting things so incredibly. And we've got, you know, of course, it points out in this article in a quote from something called the Food Industry Association that the last 20 months are not reflecting traditional business cycles in the grocery industry. Well, that's probably an understatement. But it goes on to say the supply chain needs to stabilize and regain a sense of familiarity. And unfortunately, there's not a simple solution. The current product availability challenges are inconsistent and often regional, and they are due to a confluence of supply chain factors, materials, ingredients, labor, equipment, transportation, trucking, capacity, inventory control, cost pressures, and sometimes weather. And I think what they need to put on that list is Biden. I think you could put every one of those, with the exception of maybe weather, under Biden. Because right now, when you consider materials and ingredients, well, you can't get people back to work because the Biden administration has paid them so much to stay out of work. When you consider labor shortages like that, take it one step further. We also have, by the way, the fact that the Biden administration is now making it harder for people to stay at work because if they don't want to get vaccinated, they run the risk of losing their jobs, period. Then you have equipment issues. Well, that's related to, you know, equipment breaks down, you got to order the part. What can you do? Because the part's on a ship off the ports of California. Transportation and trucking. The transportation and trucking industry has been devastated right now. People aren't going back to work. And other states like California have cracked down on trucking anyway. I'm about to play you a clip on that. Capacity, inventory control, cost pressures, all these things, every one of them can be attributed to what I believe is a part of Bidenomics and Biden policies. So what is happening right now? Well, we're seeing that inflation is reaching what some would call a tipping point in the stores. Now, let me do this. I'm going to go, Copper, go ahead if you would, please, and get clip one ready. Let me know when you got it. And by the way, Copper, I found another clip. I'm going to send it to you here in a minute just to have it because I think I'm going to want to use it later. But clip one is Congressman Obernolte. Congressman Obernolte is a Republican from California. And he's on with one of the pundits from Fox Business. And they're talking about the fact that the supply chain is jacked up right now. So much of that is sitting in California. And yet what we're also hearing is that aside from the Bidenomics, that liberals like Governor Gavin Newsom are spearheading efforts that make it even harder right now to get the supply chain unjammed. Copper, you got that? Yeah, okay. Go ahead and play clip one.
With me now, Congressman Jay Obernolte of California. Congressman, okay, we keep hearing from truckers that this is what's behind the supply chain crisis that's afflicting the entire country, that California hyper-regulated and over-regulated the country into a trucking labor shortage of 80,000 truckers and a supply chain crisis. Do you see anyone taking this problem on? I mean, a third of our imports arrive in lunacy central of dysfunction and bad ideas, California.
Absolutely. You are so right about that, Liz. So recently, California enacted a new law that made it next to impossible for truckers to be independent contractors.
Copper, go ahead and let clip, and we'll get it back when we come back from the break. How about that? I don't want to miss that. You hold it right there where it is, because when it comes back, I lost track of the time, and I don't want to lose that clip because it's one of the best ones I've got for explaining why we are where we are. Listen, folks, we're talking about Bidenomics. I'm going to finish that up when we come back from this next break. And then I'll hit number two on the triple dipper, workforce woes. How do we get people back to work? All right, listen, coming up on the news and back to the Bidenomics right afterwards. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We will be right back.